الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وكان الإنسان عجولا وقال في آية خلق الإنسان من عجل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأناة من الله والعجلة من الشيطان وقال حاتم أسم رحمه الله العجلة من الشيطان إلا في خمسة فإنها من سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إطعام الطعام وتجهيز الميت وتجهيز البكر وقضاء الدين والتوبة بعد الذنب وكما قال حاتم رحمه الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us through the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favor us with many more Ramadans and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the actions that we had carried out in the month of Ramadan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook and forgive our shortcomings. The month of Ramadan comes and the month of Ramadan goes, and with it, alhamdulillah, the spirit of obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spirit of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with the consciousness of Allah and the spirit of sincerity to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the spirit of patience is developed to a very large extent. That is why it is for us now to look after all these great qualities that had come into action in the month of Ramadan and to utilize them to come more, even more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rest of the year. I've mentioned the verse of the Holy Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one weakness of a human being and insan, that man is very hasty. Man is very hasty and very quick. He does not consider and give due consideration and does not ponder and contemplate sometimes, and he comes to very hasty decisions and is very quick in coming to decisions and very quick sometimes to carry out some actions. Whereas the right thing to do in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this, that as far as the good actions are concerned, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. As far as good actions are concerned, then there is no consideration, no hesitation, but a person should race towards good actions. And as far as bad actions are concerned, a person should totally abstain from all those prohibitions and all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared is impermissible. We have to abstain from them at all times. Yes, there are some matters, there are some orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not clear-cut, that are not explicit in the Holy Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where therein we have to apply our minds, consider, think, contemplate, thereafter take decisions. There are many occasions when a person takes a decision and thereafter he regrets. He makes an impulsive decision on something and he regrets thereafter. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, al-anatu min Allah, that composure is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Calmness, composure when it comes to matters of your deen, matters of your dunya, where you need to consider, then this calmness is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-ujlatu min ash-shaytan, and to be hasty and to be quick is from the side of shaitan. To do a very quick decision without consideration is from the side of shaitan. And this is something we experience, many of us experience very often, that I had taken the decision, but without, I had taken it on impulse. I had not considered, I had not consulted, I did not ask people, I did not look at the pros and cons, and now I have blended myself up in so many problems. So we understand in the light of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there are some matters, those excluding those that are in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicit, and excluding those prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many matters in our life where we have to consider, we have to think, we have to ponder and contemplate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put many mechanisms in place for this. First of all, the mashwara we have, where we can consult with people of experience, consult with our seniors, consult with the learned people. Then we have istikhara, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us in matters where we are uncertain and unclear. Then we also have the examples of our pious predecessors before us, We also have the life of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what route they had taken, and thereafter follow their cause and follow their line of action. These are all ways of guidance. But here Hatim Asam rahimahullah, great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, draws our attention that there are some things that a person has to hasten. Illa fi khamsatin wal ujratu min shaytan. Illa fi khamsatin. There are five. To be hasty is from the side of shaytan, except in five things. فَإِنَّهَا مِن سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. There a person has to be hasty. And those are from the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What we should sit and consider here is, generally when discourses are given, person when he finds different people speaking in the masajid, then the aim and object is to see how the presentation will be, how this person will speak, and how he'll say it. And very common we hear after that, MashaAllah, I really enjoyed the lecture, and it was a very good lecture. But as far as the spiritual life is concerned, as far as the difference, as far as our life in action is concerned, it is absolutely null. Why? The intention is wrong. The intention is to judge the exam, to judge the speaker, or to listen to the contents and see if you can enjoy it or not. Lectures are not for enjoyment. The lecture of any person, especially in the field of deen, is a spiritual remedy for our spiritual sicknesses. And if we sit there with this concept in our mind, then inshallah we'll benefit even with a few sentences. Two or three sentences would be sufficient. If you look at the discourses of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're not very lengthy, very, very small. But yet we find that people used to listen to those small, small discourses and devices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it should bring a revolution in their lives. So these 5 points that Hatim Asam rahimullah has mentioned, if you look at it, it is very pertinent when we look at our environment and if you look at our situation. The very first thing he mentioned, that is why we should sit here with an intention to rectify ourselves, myself and all of us, to rectify ourselves and reform ourselves. And if there is any shortcomings from our side, to make a solemn pledge that we will go away from there, because our deen does not only comprise of fasting and tarawih, salat and zakat, etc. Verily, this is a very, very important component of deen, but our deen is encompassing, all-encompassing. All the spheres of life are uncovered by the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidance through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all facets of our life, whether it is feeding our guests, whether it is burying our dead, whether it is burying our daughters, whether it is our mundane activities in the businesses, etc., or whether it is asking for tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Hatim Asam rahimullah mentions the first thing that we ought to hasten is itamu ta'am, the feeding of our guests. When it comes to feeding my guests, then there's no long mashuras, there's no long time to deliberate and think and ponder, but you should go and feed your guests as quick as possible. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as the guest is concerned, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are replete with the virtues of a guest and the benefits of a guest coming to your home. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfahu." And many of the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very concise, but yet they are very, very comprehensive. If you sit and think here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then he ought to honor his guest. You ought to honor his guest. Only one directive is given, honor your guest. And everything comes in honoring your guest. Look after him, respect him, make him comfortable, don't cause him any inconvenience, and give him whatever you have, and see that he's happy and he's not troubled in any way when he comes to your home, etc. Just one word covers up this entire meaning. That when the host, when the guest comes to your house, then ensure that you make him comfortable, you look after his needs, you don't hurt his feelings, you don't do something that is against his feelings and temperament, etc. And you look after him. This will be in reality honoring your guest. And this is not restricted to somebody you know or somebody you do not know. Any person that comes to your door becomes your guest, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Verily, there are different types of guests. One is a guest that comes unexpected to your home, and one is a guest that you invite. Obviously, the guest that you invite, then there's more importance attached here, because you are the one that is calling him to come to your home. He has left the comforts, he has left all his occupation and come to you because you have invited him. Now it becomes even more important and significant for you to respect and honor that guest, not to hurt his feelings in any way. When a guest comes, unexpected guest comes, obviously there could be some delay when you are preparing the food for that person, etc., in order to feed him. But when a person you have invited and you have called him to your home, then there should be no delay whatsoever, because you are the one that have invited him and you are the one that have called him. You should ensure that all the preparations are made and you feed the guest in a manner, in such a way that he is not disturbed, he is not inconvenienced, he is not troubled in the least, and he leaves happily from your home. Now let's sit back for a moment and think. On one side we have our ibadat, and one side we have the recitation of the Quran, one side we have going out in the path of Allah, one side we have bayat with our mashayikh, one side we have the majalis of zikr. But let's just turn for a moment away from all these activities and look at the condition of our families and ourselves and our people around us in our environment when it comes to weddings, when it comes to a walima, when it comes to a wedding, a walima feast, after the zikah, there'll be a walima. And 500 people are invited, 400 people are invited. We have all the deen activities with us. But this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is openly flouted. Person goes to the walima, to place for the walima, thinking there is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept this dawat. When he goes to the walima and he sits down at the walima, then firstly we find the walima is supposed to be, for example, after the Zuhr Salat, we find there's hardly people there. The host himself sometimes is not there. Thereafter, when the people converge and come together, now the people are waiting, sitting and waiting. The guests have come. These are the guests that you have honored. These are the guests that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you believe in Allah in the last day, then you should show ikram to this guest. You should respect and honor this guest. These guests are waiting. And instead of the walima, Hazrat Qari sahib is called there to perform, to say the qiraat, to read the qiraat there. The people are seated there before the tables. Half of the crowd's back is facing the Qari sahib that is going to be recited the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the food is placed before them. Under these people, they have come here to primarily eat and partake of that lunch of walima. And we find Qari sahib reciting the Holy Quran. And we find many of the people, their backs are facing the Qari sahib, because they have not come here for a dini jalsa. Due respect to the recitation of the Quran and the status of the Holy Quran, but the occasion here that they've come for, they've come to eat, they've come to partake of that lunch that we have called them. After the Qari sahib finishes, thereafter the Star Hazrat Mawlana is called upon there, or one member of the family stands up and welcomes everybody that have come here. Obviously, we have invited all those people. They are welcome to be, they are welcome. That is why we have invited here. There's no unwelcome visitor. There's no visitor that is coming here that's not welcome, that you have not invited. We have invited him here. He has come here for the occasion. Now a person stands up there and a long list sometimes starts. I welcome so-and-so that has come from America, so-and-so that has come from Pakistan, to show the status of the host. MashaAllah, such an honorable person, such a prominent person, that worldwide responds to the daughter or nikah of his wedding. The nikah of his daughter is attended by people from all corners of the globe. Thereafter we find that Hazrat Mawlana will come now and give some advices to the wedded couple, or give some advices. That carries on for another 10-15 minutes. Now we find all those things that are lying on the table to be enjoyed with the meal, they are completely finished. Somebody is looking for the papar, somebody is looking for the salads that are there, and everything is finished. And some people, every second person has this look on his face, till when will this carry on? I have come here for lunch. Now the person that's hosting this is an alim sometime. Allah Ta'ala due respects the learned person. Sometimes the person that is punctual as far as his deen is concerned, his salat is concerned. Sometimes the person who knows the masail of deen and he lives and he rubs shoulders with the ulama kiram. But no, this is the norm now. If this is not done, then there will be no pomp and glory. There will be no feather in the cap of this person. Why? It will be a very dull occasion. This person sitting there, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, this person is waiting. Program after program is going on, and this is the ikram we show to the guests that we have called from the homes. And this is no simple matter. 3 hours, 2 hours of valuable time goes of 500, 600 people. Why? Because we do not carry out the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us so simple that whoever has iman and belief in the last day, then let him show ikram to the guests. On one occasion, after I had mentioned this, one person came out to me and said, Mawlana, last week I had gone to one walima, one function. They told us they will feed us at 7:15. Till 10:15, there was no food. I was looking for my wife and saying, where is my wife? Let me go away from her. I am not in need of one plate of food, sitting for 3 hours waiting for a place of food. He leaves with this bitter memories of that walima, of my son, of my daughter. This is the ikram that we feel we are doing to our guests that come that we have invited. So Hatim Tai rahmatullahi mentions that when your guests come, feed him as quick as possible. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find if in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever used to be there used to be placed before the guest, and they used to partake of that guest. So this is one area that we should address in our lives. It is also part of our deen, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us how we should behave. The second thing Rasulullah Hatim Tai rahmatullahi mentions is what tajheezul mayyit, that the shrouding and burial of the deceased. As far as this is concerned, then we should hasten as far as this is concerned. We should not be sitting and waiting, like sometimes what happens here, person passes in the morning, we are waiting in the evening till the next day for the son to come from a certain area or the sister to come from a certain area, and all that everything is ready for that person to be buried now. But we are waiting for that one single person to come from that one corner. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Asri'u bil janazah, hasten with your janazas. Go and bury them quickly. Why? فَإِن تَكُوا صَالِحَةً فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ. If they are good people, then you are taking them to something that's very good for them. They don't want to live in the world. They have gone. They are good people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them such ni'mats and such gifts that we cannot even imagine in the hereafter. And that will begin from the qabr. So, فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ. Hasten with them. Take them to that good and all those favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are awaiting him in the grave. Don't leave him with you. And look at the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِن تَكُوا سِوَا ذَلِكَ. If that person is not a good person, فَشَرٌ تَدَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, then also, it does not warrant that you should delay. Take him quickly. You will be taking off the evil off your shoulders. Ma'azallah, Allah Pak, save us. If he's an evil person, then also it doesn't warrant you to keep him with you for a long time. Take him away quickly. In fact, one riwayat is mentioned that even the deceased that had passed away, he says, قَدِّمُونِي قَدِّمُونِي. When he's a good person, he says, take me quickly, because he knows what is awaiting him in the akhirat. But here, unfortunately, we find great and long delays. And our deen is so beautiful. Somebody passes away here, the son could not make it, the sister could not make it. The entire life they can sit and make isale sawab from any corner of the globe. And the sawab will reach the deceased. It will go into this grave. Some riwayat mentioned when the dispersed people make dua for the deceased in the form of mountains, so great and so huge is the magnitude. And the sawab that reaches him in the form of mountains, it goes there into that person's grave. So here, the deen is so easy that a person passes away. There were occasions in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when somebody used to pass away at night. Sahaba-i kiram used to bury that person at night. They should not even inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not inconvenienced with the coming out at night and participating in the janazah salat. But here, as I mentioned, that we wait for long periods of time for people from far away, because the person is dear to him or is near to him, and thereafter we find, let us ask ourselves one question: how often do we think of our deceased? That person, the janazah salat, has great virtue, obviously has great virtue, but if it's possible for us to make it after we had come from 500 miles to participate in the janazah salat, thereafter how often do we remember our deceased? Do we do so daily? Do we think of our deceased? Do we send isale sawab our deceased? This is the thing that carries on while we are living. As far as the janazah salat is concerned, it's very, very significant. But it's there for a moment, and thereafter it is finished. But what benefits a person thereafter that continues benefiting the deceased is the isale sawab that we make. This is, the channels are open for us to make isale sawab every day for these people that have passed away. So as far as the janazah salat is concerned, then we should hasten. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us is Hatim Tayyib rahmatullahi alayhi tells us is tajweezul bikr. This is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to get marriage of the unmarried girls. The marriage of the unmarried girls should not be delayed. Should not be delayed like how we find in our society. Engagement takes place, a proposal, and thereafter, after a few months, an engagement, and thereafter, after 6 months and 12 months, the wedding takes place. And after the wedding takes place, or before the wedding also, there are a whole number of occasions, whole number of functions that take place. Elaborate preparations are made for that person or for the girl to get married. No. Far and wide they are traveling to the east and to the west to get all sorts of things. No, it is not those things that will bring the happiness in the marriage. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhlaq of that girl and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will make that marriage couple a happy couple. How many are there that have tons of wealth, that have all the wealth and all the things that they require in their homes, gathered from the east and from the west, but yet we find there's no happiness and there's no understanding and compassion and love between the husband and between the wife. And this is not only a teaching of Rasulullah, not only the words of Rasulullah, but if you look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together with his lifestyle, that Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha turns 15 years of age. And if we delay and procrastinate as far as his marriage is concerned of our daughters, then what happens? Comes in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one of our duties towards our children is to get them married when they reach the age of puberty. And if you delay and they fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّمَا إِسْمُهُ عَلَىٰ أَبِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the sin is upon the father who has delayed and procrastinated as far as this marriage is concerned. What happens in our societies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, once the proposal is gone, everything is legalized. everything is legalized and everything happens under the sun in the name of the proposal going through and acceptance of the proposal. There's meetings, there's phones, there's SMSs, there's going out, there's outings, and this is done not only it's under the noses of the parents. In fact, they sanction all these activities going against the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not be alone. In the hadith we understand the person that secludes himself with another woman, the third person there is shaitan, irrespective of their being proposed or not being proposed, that does not legalize the two partners. So here we find that continues, and thereafter when the Bay Barkati comes and we find the difficulty and hardship comes in the wedding, then we have after the wedding, then everybody is grieving, everybody feels what happened here. The thing is that from the very outset we had not followed the rules and not followed the commands and way and lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 15 years of age as the Fatima radiallahu anha, the queen of the woman of paradise, so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that needs another 10-15 minutes. How beloved and close she was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu comes and proposes for her, and Hazrat Ali, great details. Hazrat Ali said, "I felt ashamed. I have nothing with me. How will I go and propose?" He says, "But I remember the kindness and compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he proposes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him, 'Do you have any wealth?' He says, 'I only have one horse and I have one shield. That is all that I possess.' Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, 'A soldier needs his horse, but sell your shield.' He sells his shield and come back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept the proposal, and he sends Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu, and a few companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Ansar. They are called, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs the nikah. So simple, and without any delay, the nikah is performed. A few things are given to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, a few household items are given to her, and thereafter she sent with Umm Ayman, the slave girl, she sent with Umm Ayman radiallahu anha to the house of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no pomp and no glory and no... There is no big hue and cry that the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved daughter, is now going to the house of Ali radiallahu anhu. All the people should gather, etc. No. And all the people should gather from the east and the west for the nikah of Fatima radiallahu anha. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, inna azam an nikah baraka aysaru ma'una. The nikah that has the maximum amount of barakah and blessings is the one that has the least amount of inconvenience, the least amount of expenditure. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends her in this way. Thereafter he goes to the house and he blows in a tub of water the three kuls, and he sprinkles them and makes dua for the wedded couple, and thereafter he tells them that the Fatima radiallahu anha should look after those things that are pertaining to the house and the activities of the house, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu should be the one that should go out and earn. And the Mubarak family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from there, from Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, we find the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come into the world. So here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Subah Mubarak Sunnah was also this, that when the time comes for marriage, there should be no undue delay, because there will be great fitna and fasad like we are witnessing today. And when a proposal had come, then immediately we should see that the person is married. There are very many flimsy excuses that are given here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and give us the true understanding of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should remember every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therein, there is good for us in this world and in the hereafter. It's good for our deen, for our dunya, and for our akhirat as well. We should not think this is the deen of Allah, we'll only get sawab for it in the akhirat. No, as far as our dunya is also concerned, in every aspect of our deen, in every aspect of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there good for us and benefit for us and advantage for us even in this very world. Look at the simplicity of the nikahs of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and ask those poor people who want to match up with the other people how much difficulty and hardship there is today to go and get a daughter married, to get the son married. She should be absolutely simple, like the way it was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth thing that is mentioned here by Hatim Ta'i rahimahullah is qada'ud dain, is the payment or repayment of the loans that people have taken. Here also we find that in our society we find, on one hand, as I mentioned, we find the dini aspects as far as the outer acts of worship are concerned. But when it comes to our activities, as far as the marketplace and business is concerned, then many are there who seem to be so outwardly pious, but they fail tremendously, they fail hopelessly as far as the payment of debts are concerned. And here, this is also something that Rasulullah Hatim Ta'i rahimullah mentions, was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to expeditiously pay our debts. Not to delay, not to procrastinate. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us that matlul ghani dhulmun, the person who procrastinates, the person that has the wealth and procrastinates, then this is oppression. that person that is a five-time namazi, that person that goes for Hajj and Umrah, that person that is very pious as far as his deed is concerned outwardly, he goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is bayat to a sheikh, he makes the zikr very punctually, but when it comes to non-payment of his debts, then he procrastinates. What does he do? Come tomorrow, come next week, come this week, come that week, and this will happen, then I'll pay you, when this will happen, then I'll pay you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person is a zalim, he's an oppressor. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time warns us also, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom, that save yourself from the dua of the oppressed person, because there is no veil between him and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person who is oppressed, you don't know that poor person, what is his commitments, what he has to, how he has to meet his obligations, etc. And how can du'as from that person's heart come out? He has but du'a for you, that this person is living in luxury. This person is enjoying the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a flashy car. He has a palatial home. He goes for umrah and for hajj, but he's not paying my money. Just a few hundred rand or a few thousand rand, he's not paying me. So that hurt, that ill feeling that comes into his heart, this is the baddua of that person. Then we want to know, Mawlana, where does this problems come? I am carrying out my salat, I am giving my zakat, and I am doing everything outwardly well. Why this parishani is coming in my life? Why this worry is coming into my life? Why these troubles and calamities are coming in my life? You are taking the du'as of that person that you are oppressing. This is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know the details. Ask those creditors who are singing and crying for the monies from their debtors. Ask them, they will know. They will tell you, and you who are in business know this better than myself. People don't want to listen to of the debt. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us that this is such an obligation. Even if a person gives his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this debt will not be forgiven. One person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and expresses, he says, O Prophet of Allah, tell me, I go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am martyred in such a manner, sabiran, muhtasiban, mukbilan, ghayra mudbirin. I have that spirit also. I am patient and perseverant of the difficulties around me. And I am muhtasiban, I am doing it only for the sake of Allah to get the reward. Mukbilan ghayra mudbirin, I am advancing into the thick of the battle. I am not turning away. O Prophet of Allah, if I am martyred in that situation, what happens to me? Are my sins forgiven? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, all your sins are forgiven. This person turns to go away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him and say him, illa dain. The debt that you have, even despite giving your life in the path of Allah, that is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has informed me and told me this. One riwayat is mentioned that the life of a mu'min, the nafs of the mu'min, is suspended till his deen and till his debt is not paid by him. If he leaves the dunya and he doesn't pay his debts, then his nafs and his ruh is suspended in the hereafter. This is how serious debt is in the eyes of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So we should rectify our lives together with the other aspects of deen, the ibadat of deen. We should see that our muamalat and our dealings and our interaction also is proper and is in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You must have heard this before also, that one person comes, when Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seated with his companions, and he begins to demand his debt, and he is very harsh. He is very harsh and very rude to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuke him and reprimand him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cautions his companions and tell them, why is it that you are not supporting a person that has a right? It was your duty to support this person because he has a right. In one place, one person gives a camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also comes and is harsh. The companions want to beat him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, "Inna li sahibil haqqi maqalan." The person that has a claim, he has the right of demand. The person that has a debt or he has a claim against you, he has the right of demanding. So you should not stop him. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have anything to pay this person that has come. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Hazrat Khawla bint Qais radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asks her for some dates. And he says her that if you have some dates, give it to me. I will give it to you when I get it. She gives the dates, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repays this person who is a villager and gives him much more than what he owes him. Gives him much more than what he owes him. The same person that was harsh to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when demanding his debt from him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treats him with so much love and compassion. He pays him and he gives him even more. Let me put myself in that scenario. Somebody comes and demands harshly. Will I ever pay him? Sometimes he won't even pay him. We'll tell him, speak to my lawyers. I'll see you. Jump in the lake. See those phrases that we hear so often from people that have deen in them. Here the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him even more. Some riwayats mention that this person was not a Muslim. He accepts Islam when he sees the action of Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some places mention that this person makes dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah repay you in full, like how you have repaid me. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned words to this effect: "There's no good in that nation. There's no good in that nation wherein a weak person cannot claim his rights from a strong person, or cannot claim his rights without hesitation." Let us look at our society. Which employee is there that he can go to the employer and demand his rights? Which wife is there that can go to the husband and ask for her rights? Which person is there, which widow is there that can go to the executors and ask for their rights? And they cannot do that without hesitation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there's no good in that nation. There's no good in that nation where a weak person cannot claim his rights. So this was the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he had promptly paid his debts. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiallahu anhu, a Jew comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tells him that, "O Prophet of Allah, this companion of yours has overpowered me. As far as my debt is concerned, he owes me 4 dirhams. On one side is who? A Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the other side is who? A Jew, enemy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at the justice of Islam. Look at when it comes to muamalat and dealings, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summons Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat and tells him to pay him his dues. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiallahu anhu takes an oath and say, "By him who has sent you with the truth, O Prophet of Allah, I do not have the means of paying this person." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him for the second time, "Pay this person." This person takes an oath again, "By him who has sent you with the truth, or who has your life in, whose life is in your hands, O Prophet of Allah, I swear in his name, I do not have money. I am not in a position of paying this person. And I have told him that you will send us to Khaybar, and I am hopeful that I will get the booty of Khaybar, then I will pay him. Otherwise, I have given him hope that I will be paying him." But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, this is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the sincerity of the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. He's speaking with sincerity and his complete ikhlas and truthfully, and he's taking an oath before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Pay him his dues." For the third time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands him. Who is that person? Is a Jew. This person has no wealth, but yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Pay him your dues. Pay him his dues." This person is mentioned that he goes, he only has his bottom cloth. They used to wear 2 pieces of clothing at that time. He has the bottom clothing and he has a top shawl. And he does not have a shawl, but he has a turban. And he only has the bottom clothing to cover his satr. It's mentioned he takes his shawl, he takes his turban and he ties it around his waist and covers his waist, etc. And he takes that shawl and he goes out in the marketplace and sells it for 4 dirhams to that very Jew that he is owing. Otherwise, he has only 2 pieces of clothing and he gets rid of one of them in fulfillment of the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and honoring the hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fulfilling and paying the debt of that person. Look at ourselves when we come to us, somebody asks us for our debt, what do we say? "I do not have money." Yet the best of foods, the best of cars, umrahs, everything is carrying on, but the person is not prepared to pay. And what happens? Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an elderly woman that is passing by, sees the sahabi in this condition and asks him, "What is the problem, O companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He relates to her the story. She takes out the shawl and gives it to him there. The madad of Allah, the nusrat of Allah, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies when in the deen of Allah, if we fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were 5 areas that Hatim Asam rahimullah had mentioned. This for each one of us to see in our lives how we are addressing this. Up to what extent we are following the sunnah when it comes to my guest, when it comes to my daughter, the wedding of my daughter, when it comes to somebody deceased in my home, when it comes to my creditors, when it comes to paying my creditors, up to what extent am I paying? And the 5th thing was to make tawbah after a person commits sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.